Vayidono.
Perigimul pasikhes kol kovel dino. Thereupon, kol kovel dino is an expression called because of this. Now let's just recap of what has happened. Nebuchadnezzar has made for himself a massive statue and has demanded out of pure gold. And so we'll review the beautiful idea from Michal Miller. Michal Miller, he told me, why did Daniel make the statue from pure gold? Because Daniel in Perek Beis explained to Daniel that the dream, Nebuchadnezzar, your dream was a statue, and the statue had different types of metal. Each part of the statue was made from a different type of metal: gold, silver, copper, bar iron mixed with cheres, and each metal represents one of the Dalid Malchios. What are the Dalid Malchios? That we're not going into again. That's a long discussion. And you are the head, you are the top, current, present, Malchus of Babel, but you have to be aware that your Malchus will not last forever. It will only last for 70 years, and then it will be taken over by the next Malchus, the Malchus that which we know to be Moda Yoparas, which is represented as silver. So Nebuchadnezzar wanted to reject this bad omen, that he, this prediction, this prophecy, this sign that his Malchus will come to an end, and built a statue that was made entirely of gold. The gold's not just the head, but the golds include the shoulders and the arms and the chest and the legs and the toes, to tell the world, no, Daniel is wrong. My Malchus will endure li'olam vo'ed. It's a beautiful idea, and that explains why it comes right after, immediately follows from the previous parak of the statue, the dream, the image, and the interpretation of Daniel. He's now building a new statue of pure gold, and at this point, he demands the entire world come to acknowledge that his Malchus will endure forever and ever, and the foundation would kept the statue, as we spent much time last week learning, was the base of this statue was the gold of Yerushalayim, that was going to be the support. He dominated Yerushalayim, and there were three people that were present: Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, who represented Klal Yisrael. So I learned a little bit further, and there in the first one explained that it was mainly the leaders. The leaders of the nations were summoned to come and bow down, and when the leaders of each individual nation would come, they would represent their entire nation. So when Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah refused to bow to the statue, they were basically saying that we Jews, all of the Jews, refuse to acknowledge Yehoshua as a god, and refuse to acknowledge your belief that your Malchus will endure forever. There is a creator, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he will decide what will be. So what happened? Kol kovel dinah, thereupon, when they refused to bow down, Beis Zimna, at that time, kirivu guvin kasdoin. Men from the nation of the Kasdim, which is Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar was a Kasdi. This is Babel. We always say that the Kasdim and the Babylonians are pretty much synonymous. Va'achalu kartzehon di Yehudoi. And they ate this food called Karetzion, which we'll explain in one moment what this means, di Yehudoi, concerning the Jews. Now, this is a very famous pasuk. This pasuk, Chavetz Chaim mentions many, many times, and it's quoted in the Gemara. It was customary in ancient times when you would want to gossip, you would go and you would sit down on a park bench, and instead of playing chess or checkers, you would gossip. And everyone would bring a snack. And if you would accept, there was a certain sign language, there were certain conventions people did to express that they believe in your gossip. If you would eat the food, that would be an indication you have accepted the gospel. Wow, this is good. Two people are sitting on a park bench, one is speaking to the other, listening to the gossip, and the other person takes some food from the other person. He puts his hand into the other person's bag and takes some food and munches on it. That is a way of saying, I believe you. Because we all know, not all gossip is believable. But tabloids, okay, people can say what they want to say, it sells papers, but is it really, really true? Not necessarily. But if you take your hand into your friend's food and you eat it, I believe you. the Oila may not accept this, but it is true, and that's what it means here. Now, Karzion literally means to wink, to blink with your eye. So it's not a real food, it's a borrowed expression. Karzion, they ate Karzehon. They ate a food which was a way of winking. By eating the food, that was equivalent of the listener to wink with his eye, indicating, wow, delicious. That's a delicious, delicious piece.
And why didn't they verbally acknowledge?
They did. I'm not sure. It's because it's not proper to... I don't know. It's a certain convention. I'm not sure of the details. V'achalu karzehon diyudei, and they about the Jews. So basically, this is a very sophisticated expression, basically saying they slander the Jews. These men from the nation of the Kastim, who observed that Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah did not come and bow down to the statue of Nebuchadnezzar, they approached Nebuchadnezzar, and they told him, the Jews are not bowing down. Now is your chance to take action and to punish and to destroy the Jewish people who are living here in exile in your country, and especially Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, who they represent. Let's see the Rashi. Rashi Pasuk Ches, Kol Kavod Dinah, Kol Umas Zo, because of this, thereupon, Shirosh Soinei HaYehudim, the enemies of the Jews saw, Sheyesha L'Halshin Aleim, they saw an opportunity. Rashi is very precise, a fascinating Rashi. It's not that the Jews did something wrong, and now that the Jews have done something wrong, we're going to go and punish them. The Jews never do anything wrong. The Goyim are always looking for an opportunity to cause us harm. Even when we're doing nothing wrong, we're perfect, we're following the rules. Because at this point in time, the Ashkenazim Shavzar did not bow down. It was Sheyei Shoha. We have an opportunity. Lahalshin Aleihem. What did they do? Krivu Givurni Kazdon Yachlu Karetzion Hilshinu Aleihem. Rashi says that they went and they slandered. It says in the pasuk Lo Selech Rachel Metargimin. So Rashi quotes the Targum of the pasuk Unkel Estir and pasuk Vayikra Perik Yutes Lo Techol Kurt. Do not eat kurtzin. Kurtzin is not a real food. It's just it's a name of a food, a snack, which means I believe what you say. V'oimrei, Rashi explains, Shekein hoisa das, this was the law, the unstated law, shel holchi rachel, those who gossip, le'echol legima, to eat a snack, b'mokam shemal shinim sham, in the location where they would gossip. They went to the park, and they sat around the park table, and they would gossip, and they would bring with them some snacks, v'hu simen kim dvarim shemei oisa shah, yesh aleihem levarer divrayem. And it was a simen, when you would eat the snack, it was a sign that we believe you. Kiyum devarim shemi oisa shayesh aleim lelevar devrayim ulaames loshen arosh amuvi oisa suda nikres achilas kurtzin loshen koreitz. But that suda, where they're going to clarify, they were going to discuss the matter and further clarify if this piece of gossip is true or false, they would eat the snack, and this snack is called kurtzin. It's not a real food. Loshen koreitz vein of to wink with your eye. Shul simin loshen hara, we accept the loshen. So they slander the Jewish people. Pasuk test. These group of people, they raised up their voice and they said to Nebuchadnezzar Malka, the king, Malka, you always had to give cover to Nebuchadnezzar. You have to give cover to all the kings. First thing he says, may you live forever. King, live forever. Ant Malka, you the king, Samta Te'im, you have issued an edict. Te'im means, in Yonah, in the Mitzudah says, it's like a law. A gezeira. Okay, Rashi says gezeira. Let me find the Rashi. Nu savuchu kol aniyah shemikloshen kol ramhu samta gezeiras dava. Gezeiras dava. It's a law. Time is a reason. My time. The Gemara always says, what's the ta'ama? What's the reason? Ta'am. So here means something, a law has usually or should have a reason. You may not understand the reason. The king is wicked. He wants to kill the Jews because he hates the Jews. So he has a reason in his corrupt mind. But you, the king, have issued a reason. Ant Malka, Samta Te'im, you have issued a law. Dichol Enoshti Yishma Kol Karno, Mashro Kisa. Any individual that hears the sound of the horn shrieking, this we mentioned before, and the kasrois, different types of musical instruments, which I do not know, the we translate this as the drum, a certain type of drum, and the sabcha as a certain type of harp, pesanteirin, we translate this as the piano, and the visufonia, the symphony. Symphony what? The symphony orchestra. So I saw in the Judaica press, it translates this as bagpipes. Bagpipes. Did I say that correctly? The plural? Bagpipes? Yeah, plural. And, but I saw the article, he has a different translation. I forgot what he says. I don't remember what the article said. But whatever, it's not important. It's all the different types of musical instruments, because Zine Zimara, and all the other types of various musical instruments, Ya Yipel the Yiskud Litzelem the Hava, when the shofar is sound and the musical instruments are played, every person must fall. Two different expressions of bowing. Yipel the Yiskate to fall. Prostrate, let's sell him the hava to the golden image. Uman, so they're just reviewing, there's a lot of verbosity, just reviewing exactly all the law, what happened. Uman, and part of your edict was, Uman di lo yipel the yiskud, anyone that does not bow down, yisrime, will be lifted up, will be pulled out of the crowd, and will be thrown, lego atonura, that's one word, lego atun means into that fire, your kidta that is burning in its full hekef, in its full power. And guess what, king? There were people that did not bow down. Isai, there are. There exist. Guvrin Yehudoin, Jewish people, the Jews. It's time to get the Jews. Di manis, and these Jews are not just simple Jews. These are Jews that are government officials. They have been appointed to high positions in government. Di mani, so you, the king of Nebuchadnezzar, have appointed your son then, ala vidas medinas Babel. They are in charge of what takes place in the Medina Babel. Babel was the capital of this country. Who are these people? They are Shadrach, Beshach, Vavedugo. These are the names, the Babylonian names given by Nebuchadnezzar to Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah. Ilech, to you, Lo samu aloch malka to aim, to you, they have not paid attention to your decree. They have refused to listen to your decree. Ilech to you, lo samu aloch malka to aim. They did not pay attention to your law. Le lo koch. They did not worship your God, and to the image, the golden image which you have erected, they have not bowed down. So here they have slandered Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah. They have not bowed down to the image of Nebuchadnezzar. It's interesting, the Parshim do pick up on this pasuk that there are two things. There is the God of Nebuchadnezzar, and then there is his image. Are they one and the same? It's not clear. There are different opinions. There is a God, and it appears from this pasuk that there was a double pride, there was a two-part process in bowing down, a double meaning in bowing down to this idol, into this image. By bowing down to this image, you're acknowledging the God of Nebuchadnezzar, and you're also somehow ascribing some divine power to Nebuchadnezzar himself and his image. It's not clear, we're not familiar with all of the intricacies of idolatry, but there's something going on, there's something complex taking place here. Yeah.
But indicating that he is the all-powerful
Nebuchadnezzar. Yeah, but it does say that there's also the God of Nebuchadnezzar. Le-lo-koch, lo-poch, to your God, lo-folk. And we break it up. It's unique, because it was never broken up so far in the previous psukim into two different parts. Here, for the very first time, it's being broken up. Why it's so, it's not clear. But it's something to take note of. Your God, will it sell him the Havadi, he came to lo sogdin, they're not bowing down to your image. If you want to say a drush, is that Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah already accomplished something by not bowing down. In other words, if originally, and this is a drush, I don't know, this can be total nonsense, but just as an idea, why all of a sudden here now is it being broken up into two parts? Originally, look back in the previous psukim, in the beginning of the parak, there's just one thing, there's an image, and the image is, this is God, this is the God, this is Nebuchadnezzar, it's all one and the same. Here, there already has been a rebellion. Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah refused to bow down. People have taken note. Wow, look at this. They're not bowing down. Who are these people? These are the Jews. You know, the Jews, maybe they're right. Because, you know, after all, even though Nebuchadnezzar destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, look, the Jews are still thriving. They're doing very well. They're in Golus. They're successful. Ad kedei kach, that they've been appointed to positions of government. You know, maybe Nebuchadnezzar is not really a god. Maybe Nebuchadnezzar, he's a nothing. They already opened up, created doubt in the minds of the Babylonians. They already began to distance, to draw a gap between God and the idol. The idol is not the God. There is a God. Okay, Nebuchadnezzar says that his God is the real God and the Jewish God is not the real Jewish God. The already people are already talking. They've accomplished something in their rebellion. Yeah.
Direct parallel to Avraham Avinu.
Yeah.
In that he challenged the Avodah Zarah of
Nimrod.
And Nimrod, the king of Babel, sees this as a threat
right.
to him and his rule, and then is going to take the same action.
Right, absolutely. This is purely right. This is a parallel. This has to be discussed in detail. That this was happening over here is definitely a parallel to Avraham Avinu and Nimrod. Avraham Avinu was thrown into the Kidesh Ta'esh, and Avraham was spared, but his brother Choron was not spared. He died. Choron was the first person who died Al Kiddush Hashem. If you think about that, that's a very interesting thing. And who was Choron's son? Lot. And Avraham Avinu was dedicated to, he was willing to give up his life for Lot. Why? It's a very bizarre thing. Why? Lot was no tzaddikal. He parried a lie. In a small ayinina, in a yimina, smila, they didn't get along. Why was Avraham Avinu, when he heard that Lot was captured by its stone, did he risk his life? Because Avraham Avinu realized that his brother, Choron, gave up his life for the cause of Avraham Avinu. And what did Choron leave over in this world? A child.
The Davidic dynasty comes over.
Oh, exactly. Lot. Lot comes Melech HaMashiach, Rus HaMoviah. Amon Moav, from Moav comes Rus HaMoviah, and from Rus comes David, from David comes Melech HaMashiach. From David, David's great-great-grandfather, Lot, Choron died Al Kiddush Hashem. Okay, so you'll tell me, oh, but he didn't do a Lishma because he saw that Avraham Avinu miraculously was spared. So he thought, let's put that all aside. When you're being thrown into a furnace, you know what's going to happen. If Avraham was lucky, it doesn't necessarily mean you're going to be so lucky, you're going to be spared. So it's an incredible thing. We don't really, it's hard for us to appreciate what that means, that he gave up his life Al Kiddush Shemayim, and his son, from him came Melech HaMashiach. Yitzhak, of course, he gave up his life Al Kiddush Shemayim Avraham Yitzhak, but it was at the very last moment Al Tishlach Yodcha El Hanar. Okay, but in Echnam, we have to draw parallels between the Nebuchadnezzar and the Daniel and Nimrod and Avraham Avinu with Choron. Maybe at some point we'll get to that. So here we have, we just want to say that Jewish over here already, that we're breaking up the two points. I think there is some significance over here that after the ready, there's a person should never think that a person is Mekadesh Shem Shem. You do a chesed, you make a kiddush, even a small little thing. You go to the airport and you see a guy and you say good morning. You don't realize how far a small little kiddush Hashem can go and what it can accomplish in this world. Here, three people, they didn't bow down. Okay, they were chashra people and they had to go say lashon hara. And already you see, already we're breaking up. It's not the same avodah zarah. It's already, there's a Tselem, and there's a God. The Tselem is not the God. Who is the God? Is it really the God of Nebuchadnezzar? Who is that God? Maybe it's the God of the Jews. He's the real God. Let's go further.
If he was the God himself, why did he need the image?
Well, that's a...
yeah,
fool, that's,
think of the cult of personality of any totalitarian...
In a picture in that statue.
Yeah.
Paro claimed that he was a god because he didn't have to go to the bathroom. He didn't have to go to the bathroom like he said. So what did Moshe do? He went out. He went to speak to him when he went out to the water, because that's when he went to the Beis HaKisei. He caught him in the act.
How do you differentiate between the Melech and the golden image? In other words, would they be that bowing down to the Melech?
Yeah.
Out of respect, you're supposed to.
But that's respect. That bowing down to a Melech is an act of respect.
So you're separating that. So they would have bowed down
Possibly, yes.
What they did, and this point is that if he is a divine, then they're also bowing down to the divine.
Oh, so if he would declare himself as a god, then they would not be allowed to bow down to him. Absolutely not. But even in that, if that's so, I don't know the rules, but let's say, for example, the Nebuchadnezzar would declare himself as a god. But it's protocol, you know, to shake their hand or to bow down. When I'm shaking, I'm not shaking your hand. It's not interpreted by the audience as bowing down to a god. It's just protocol, respect. He's the king, besides the fact that he thinks he's a god, but he's also the king. And any king who does not think he is a god deserves respect of being bowed down to and shaking their hand. So not every single thing that a person does to give respect to a person who thinks they're a god is necessarily considered idolatry. But in this case, Nebuchadnezzar did erect a statue, and this statue was definitely a form of idolatry. I'm not bucking all the rules of Avodah Zarah, how it works, but this was definitely, and by bowing down to this statue, it was clearly accepted without any exception that this was a form of idolatry. And therefore, under no condition would Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah bow down. Now let's see, so here, so now Nebuchadnezzar, so they finish giving over the slander. So what happens at this point in time? Pasuk Yud Gimel. So we're up to right, so after Pasuk Yud Gimel, Beidayin then, Nebuchadnezzar, Birgaz Vichama. Two different expressions. He was furious. He was steaming. Regaz, anger, vachamos, heat. His body, his blood pressure went up. He was hot. Omar, he said, lahai soya, to bring. Bring those three people who have challenged my divinity. To bring Lishadrach, Meshach, Va'avednego. To bring these three people. And immediately, Beidayin, I think that's the most popular word so far in Sefer Daniel, Beidayin, then, at that point in time, Guvraya Ilech, these people, He Soyu, were presented Kodom Malka before the king. Onein Nebuchadnezzar v'Amar Lohoin. Nebuchadnezzar raised his voice and he said to them, Hatzta. Now, Hatzta is a very unusual word. The art scroll translates it very simply, Hatzta. Is it true? Is it correct? Such a thing? That's a translation which it comes, I'm sure it comes from somewhere, but it doesn't say that here. Here in Rashi, let's look at Rashi. Rashi translates with Hatzlosh of Tzad, the side. Tzad, you have something on the side road. It's not important. It's insignificant. You push it away to the side. So he's saying to Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah, you know, I'm the king. I issued an edict. I told everyone to bow down. And you have taken my command. You put it in the basement. You put it in the garage. You got the letter from the king, what you must do. It's not important. It's junk mail. It goes on the side. Hatzta, is it true that you've cast to the side my decree? Let's see Rashi. Shema gezeroisai tzadu ushmama. Tzadu means it's worthless. Tzadu means it's insignificant. It's on the side. Ushmama. V'dovar reiku. It's empty be'enechem. Atem be'enechem. Atem shederech mesh you. Shederech meshach v'av. Shadrach, Atem, Shadrach, Meshach, Va'aved Nego, the three names for Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah, Asher Le'elohai Einchem Oedim, you refuse to worship my God. Now, Hey Aleph, Shel Hatzta, what's Hey Aleph stand for? I'm not sure what that stands for. The Hey Aleph, Shel Hatzta, Mishamesh, the Hey Hatzta, Mishamesh, Loshon Tania, is it? So Dal, the Tzadi Dal is Tzad, and Aleph is just part of the Aramaic thing which you add into the words. Is it something which is a Tzad, something which is Shemama, insignificant? Shadrach, Meshach, Vavei, Negoi, Le'elohi, to my God, Lo, Isseichoin, Polchin, you refuse to bow, to worship. Polchin means to worship, to serve. And Ulitzelem, Dehava, Di, Hakemes, and to the golden image which I have erected, Lo, Sogdin, you have refused to bow, to prostrate. Pasek tesvav, ka'an, thereupon. Ka'an means thereupon, hein, they, isseichoin, asidin, No, he's continuing. Nebuchadnezzar is continuing. So he's telling them, I'm giving you one more chance. I'm warning you one more time. Therefore, Hain Isechoin Asidin Div Asidin Div Idna. When the opportunity will present itself in the future. That's how you translate these very complicated words. It's very hard to translate these words literally. Ka'an means like therefore. Hein, so it will be. Isseichoin, when you will exist. Asidin, in the future. I'm telling you now, there's going to be another opportunity. Listen to me. Therefore, when it will come a time when you will exist in the future. D, when? The Idana, there will be a time. These Sishmaun, you will hear once again the Kol Karna, the horn, Mashoi Kisa, wailing. They will blow the trumpets, and the Kasros, and they will bang the drums, and the Safka, they will play the harp, and the Pasenterin, they will play the piano, ancient type of piano. The Symphonia, and they'll blow the bagpipes. The Chol, Zine Zimra, and all of the musical instruments will be played. I'm telling you now, Tiblun, I'm giving you another chance, you shall fall. This Gedun, lie flat, prostrate. Litzalma, di Avdes, to the image which I have made, the Avdes, which I've invested billions of dollars in erecting this massive image, and I'm warning you one last chance, Hananiah Shabbat Azariah, Vehein Los Siskidun Ba Shata, if you don't bow down at this time, Tishremun Ligoy Atu Nura Yokidito, you'll be thrown into this furnace, which is burning, Umanhu, and there is no God in the world that will be able to save you. He's a koifer here. Umanhu Allah. Who is a God? Is there any such God in the world? D. Yeshez Vinchon means to save. We have this word a lot. Sheziv is to save. Is there any God in the world? It's a rhetorical question. Min Yodi, that can save you from my hands. If you don't bow down this next time, I'm going to put you into the furnace and you're going to die. Anoi, Shadrach, Meshach, Vavednego, all three answered. They all raised their voice. Va'amrein Lamalka, Nebuchadnezzar, and they said, Lamalka Nebuchadnezzar, we'll discuss this in a few moments. They said two things. King Nebuchadnezzar. They didn't just call him king. Normally, it's disrespectful to say the name of the king. You just say the king. You the king, live forever, and so on. You don't call him by his first name. What?
Your Majesty.
Here he's saying over here, he's calling him by their name, Nebuchadnezzar, which is disrespectful, which we'll see in a moment, which is interpreted to be disrespectful, which indeed, they did intend to be disrespectful to Nebuchadnezzar in this fashion. We'll see in one moment. Lochash chin anachna al dino piskam. We couldn't care less. Chashchin means to care, anachna means us, al dino this piskam, law, to consider it. We couldn't care less to consider this decree of yours. This is foolish nonsense to think that you're a God and we're going to bow down and we're going to serve you and whoever you believe in. There's only one God, the Melech Malchei Melachim HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's in our laws, it's Yehoreg V'al Yavar, to worship any other God. So we're not going to pay any attention to some of the exact, the interesting, this expression is very, very eloquent description of their disregard for his decree. Look at the Rashi. Rashi, the Rashi pasuk has Zayin in the middle. Lo chashchin anachna, loy choyshishin anu al zos. We couldn't care less. Litol eitzah, to take counsel. We're not going to even discuss this matter. It's such nonsense. It's not even worth us talking about. Mole hashivcha, to even reply to you. Ki hama'ane Muchun v'shogar b'finu, the refusal. Mana means the refusal. Our refusal to do this act is we're fully prepared at any cost and any expense, at any torture. Pasuk Yitzayin. Now let's do a little bit further. We'll come back and do some of the mepharshim.
Sorry, when is all this happening?
This happening approximately about 50 years after the Churban Bayis Rishon. Churban Bayis Rishon. Approximately about, I'm not exactly, but approximately sometime between the Churban, there were 70 years to the Churban Bayis Rishon Bayis Sheni.
Here in the situation relative to the
Achashverosh was not yet born yet. Is not in the picture yet.
Even though it's 50 years already into the
Oh, I take that back. I take that back. I'm sorry. I take that back. He's coming later.
He's coming in
a little bit later, right? He's still a child. Achashverosh. This is. So this must be a little bit earlier. I take that back. This is not probably not 50 years. This is more like 10, 15 years.
Right. They're seeing him coming.
This is shortly after the Churban Bayis Rishon. I probably surely should tell you the exact dates.
Is it the actual Churban or the first time that they took that to Talmidim?
No, after the Churban. This is clearly after the Churban.
Who is Achashverosh?
We had that in the beginning of Sefer Daniel. It tells us the dates. Mm-hmm. It tells us the exact. They were taken 11 years. Daniel was taken to the palace of Hananiah 11 years before the Churban.
Right.
But this event is taking place shortly after, not 50 years, I'm sorry, more like 5 years. We had the exact dates in the beginning of the Sefer, I don't remember. But shortly after the Churban Bayis Rishon is when this event is actually taking place. What? He's not here. So the Gemara in Masechta Sanhedrin talks about this. And the Gemara there says, and remember, everything here is there's a secret agenda. Everything here is more than meets the eye. And the Gemara in Sanhedrin says that Nebuchadnezzar knew that Daniel would not bow down, and knew there would be a lot of fallout if he would do this while Daniel was. So Nebuchadnezzar secretly, sent him on a mission. He sent him on a mission, Secretary of State, to go deal with North Korea at this time. So when they had the inaugural statue, he just wasn't there. And he did it on purpose, because he was afraid of Daniel, because he saw Daniel was the one that revealed to him the dream. He told him about the dream, and he saw that Daniel was mamish him, he's not going to chapel with, he's not going to get involved with. But Hananiah, Mishael v'Azariah, eh? I could overcome them, and I could overcome all of the other Jews. One Jew will let him go on a mission, will deal with him at a later point in time. So he was deliberately sent away in order that he should not be a problem at this point in time. That's one interpretation of the Gemara. The Gemara has other interpretations. Ashkocha Pratis, he went to restore the Aseres HaShvatim, I think it says. He went on a mission. Hopefully we'll come across at some point in time. Daniel was not at this here or here because he had other things to do to take care. We'll just finish up a few more psukim. We'll just discuss one or two midrashim. And Pasuk Yud Zayin. Hein Isai Elo. Hein behold. So here they are, Hananiah and Mishael v'Azariah are replying to Nebuchadnezzar. It's a very beautiful response. It's a lot to learn how to respond to Shmat. They're defiant and they're very eloquent. They tell him, we couldn't care less what you have to say. We're not going to consider it. We're not going to even discuss it. And you should know, Nebuchadnezzar, that there's a real God. You're making a big mistake. Hey, and behold, Isai, there is Elo Kono. There is a God, the Anachna Folchen, which we do worship. We're not atheists. We're not just rebelling against you because we don't like you. We worship. We do believe. We're religious people. We believe in God. There's a God which we serve. Yochil, and guess what? This God, Yochil l'sheizavusana. If this God wants, he can save us. You can throw us into the fire, and if our God wants, he's a kol yochol. He can save us in the fire. Minatunik yochol l'sheizavusana can save us min atun nura from the fire, your fire, your kidta, which is burning, umin yodoch malko yishayziv, and he can also save us from any other torture you have ready for us. Our God is the God that we worship, and he can save us from the fire and from your hands. And you should know, it might very well be that Hashem decides not to save us. Hashem has his calculations, cheshbonos. Hashem doesn't always do miracles. He did a miracle for Avraham, but he didn't do a miracle for Haran. For some he does miracles, some he does not do miracles. So you should know, if you do throw us into the fire and we die, or if you do choose to torture us and we suffer, so what? Doesn't make a difference. We still fully believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Vehein Lo. And these are two very powerful words. You put a period right there, very hard break right there. Vehein law. And guess what? Behold, if not, if it doesn't work out for our best, it doesn't make one bit of a difference. You should still know, Yidi'ah lehevelach. It shall still be known to you, the king. Malka, di leilo yhoch lo isona folchin. We will still not worship your God. Ulitzelem dehava di ha kemta, and to the image which you have erected, lo niskud, we will not bow. So this is a beautiful pasuk, because you put that comma right after the word law. And even if not, just because you're religious and you're Jewish and you have your beliefs, it does not mean things will always work out for the best. And even though it does not work out for the best, it doesn't change emuna one bit. I'll just tell you something very controversial. There's an expression that people say, I probably told this to you at some point in time, that Hashem only gives a person a nisayon that they can handle. I've heard this many, many times. People have difficulties in life. We all have difficulties. No one has a free pass. And it's rough. It's very, very rough. Rough many different ways. And so, no, if Hashem gave you the nisayon, He gave you the situation, you can overcome, you can prevail, you can overcome it. That's what you have the koichos to overcome it. Okay, I heard that, and I'm not denying it's true. I once heard from a very big Talmud Chacham. He gave a shiur, a private shiur, and he gave the shiur to a group of Talmud Chacham. I happened to be there. I wasn't really part of that caliber of people that were in that room, but I was there, and he said over this expression, and he said that in his opinion, this is mamish kafira to say this. Hashem can do whatever He wants. Who are you to limit Hashem? He'll only give you an nisayon that you can handle. Hashem, if He wants, can give you an nisayon, can put you in a situation you can't handle, and you'll fail, and you'll suffer, and things are not going to work out, and the person will be completely have a total meltdown, in all different ways. You have no right to limit the koyach of Hashem. Hashem only giving me the son that I can handle. You're going to limit Hashem to what He can do. And really, that's what it says here. That's what it is. First it says, Pasuk Yitzayin, Hei Nisai Elokono Di Anachna Folchin. We believe there is, it's a statement, behold, there is a God which we worship, Yochil L'Shei Zavusono. He can do whatever He wants. He can save us from your fires. He can save us from your hands. Menatu Nura Yochidto U'min Yidoch Malko Yishei Ziv. That's emuna. There's a God, He can do whatever He wants, He can save us, He can spare us, He can take us out of the tzara. But you have to also know Nevuchadnezzar, that part of Yadus, part of Emun is, Vehein lo, behold not. It's very possible Hashem will not help us, will not save us, will not spare us. He'll give us an nisayon that we won't be able to overcome. But you know what? It doesn't make a bit of a difference. That's Emun Pshuta. You should still yidia lehaveloch malka di lealakach lo isana polchim ulsem the havadi hakem to lo. Doesn't make a difference. We're not going to bow down to your God. Okay. We'll stop with those.
That's the three of them, or for all of Yehudim, when they made that comment, are they saying that we will not bow?
They're saying this is their. They are defining. If this is recorded in the Ksuvim. This,
they're including all the people.
Yes, yes.
They're the head.
They can't speak for them. They can't speak for more than themselves. Not everyone is a Madrega.
As being the Malchus of Yehuda.
Yes.
In Babel, they could speak for all of them.
They are. They definitely are.
So
but
the smallest person can be, who may not really have that emuna.
Yes.
Too bad for him. He's going to be thrown into the fire.
If they have the authority to represent them and they say this, they're doing correct. That's the halacha. This is correct. If the Nebuchadnezzar were going to go and approach individual people and say, I'm giving you your own independent choice, al pi halacha, they're mechuyev to give up their life. But not every person, now there's a whole question, a person, the Gimel Averes Chamuris, Avodah Zarah Gilrei Shvichas Dam. You must give up your life. Let's say a person can't be an Benesaya. He can't. He just can't. He just is a weak person. They put a gun to his head and they said, if you don't do this Avera, I'm going to kill you. And he does the Avera. Does he lose his chelik in Olam Haba? Definitely not. Oynes Rachmona Padre. He was forced. He was mechuyef. He had a very good opportunity. He was obligated to give up his life. He couldn't do it. Just because he couldn't do it, it does not mean he loses chelik olam haba. Oynes Rachmona Padre. So what they are saying is, this is emuna. They were obviously in that madrega. The proof is they did it. They allowed themselves to be thrown into the furnace. What more do you want? The proof is in the pudding. It's right here. But this is definitely emuna. Now let's go before I conclude. I want to just conclude over here. There's one very interesting medrash. Okay, it's long. I'm not going to read the medrash that in the Nebuchadnezzar. And this is a sad medrash. When he has Hananiah Meshav Azar presented to him, and he says, what is this that I hear? You don't bow down to my Avodah Zarah? Tell you the Medrash outside, to make the Medrash short, long story short, he says, but you know, it wasn't so long ago that I destroyed Yerushalayim. I conquered Yerushalayim. I destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. And you know what we found there? In Yerushalayim? We found idols. And not only did we find idols, we found the Mercedes of the idols, the Lexus. We found the best of the best. There were no idols in the world that were as beautiful and expensive from the finest metals. So you're not going to bow down to my Avodah Zarah when you the Jews are the ones who are the experts in idolatry. Because it was true. Because we know from Nahum, we know from history that the Jews, unfortunately, they did worship idols during the time of the Bais Rishon was true because of Avodah Zarah, Gilei Raiyah Shvichas Dam. They had a Yetzer of Avodah Zarah. They worship. So he was mocking them. He was mocking them and telling them, what's this? You don't want to bow down. What's this? You don't want to bow down to my idols when you are the ones who are the big experts in worshiping idols. Okay, that's one interesting medrash. Now, the other thing...
Yeah, so how does their answer jive to that time?
There is no answer. They just...
No, their answer. How does their answer...
Their answer says that was... We sinned. So, Klal Yisrael, unfortunately, they sinned. They went to Golis. They went into Golis. They sinned. Unfortunately, the average person was not able to overcome his Yetzirah. Okay, but right now, here we are. We have done tshuva. We have learned the lessons of the Chorban. We're doing tshuva. And we have returned to that high level of serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we refuse to bow down to your idol. Now the other interesting medrash here, one more medrash here, is where they speak to Nebuchadnezzar disrespectfully. They say to him, V'yamim l'malka Nebuchadnezzar. So the medrash says, Pasuk Tes Zayin. Why does it say both Malka and Nebuchadnezzar? So the answer is, they tell them, listen, they say, it was Nebuchadnezzar was telling them, I don't understand, it's either all or nothing. If you're willing to serve in my government as a senator, a governor, whatever, high position in government, so it's all or nothing. It's got to be everything. You have to bow down. You have to follow all the rules. You want to be part of the culture. You got to go. You know. You got to go to the parade. You just can't take the good, take the pension, and then just sit back and not participate. So they basically said. They basically told him no. If it's about paying taxes and serving you and everything is according to the law of the Torah, there's no contradiction to Torah, and there's a lot of hashkafa here. L'malka, yes, we'll participate. There's nothing wrong with a Jew participating in the culture in the culture of a foreign nation. L'malka. So that's what the Medrash says. Well, let me read you the words over here. Ella, Ella, b'misim uve arnonios uve zim yoinois, a whole long collection of taxes. If it comes to matter of taxes, laws, which really represent the whole idea of being a good citizen of the country, absolutely, Malka, you are the Melech. We will give you full honor. You know what that means? It means we're not going to go into a ghetto and deny there's no government. We're living in our own little community, and we don't want to vote. We don't want to participate. We're not going to pay taxes. We're not going to vote. We're not going to know from nothing. No. Malka. The word Malka has the connotation we will be full participants in your country, in your culture, by paying taxes, by voting, by doing everything that a regular citizen does. But if you're going to go and do things that are mamish, kneged, the Torah, which are basic Zion mitzvahs b'nei Noach, and force it upon us by the most basic thing is avodah zarah, then all you are in our eyes is you're just a Nebuchadnezzar. You're not a king. You're just a Jack or a John. You average Tom, Dick, and Harry. That's all you are. So Nebuchadnezzar is a way of saying you're just Tom, Dick, and Harry. And even the Medrash goes further to say that Nebuchadnezzar comes from different words. You're like a dog. Nevu means like different. They break up the words. Let me tell you what it means over here. This is from Vayikra Rabba, Lamed Gimel Vav. And this he's telling us to bow down. Nevuchanetzar ata unuvanechanetzar shemcha at v'chad kelef shavin oleinu kechada. You're like a dog. That's all you are. We're disrespectful to you because Nevuchanetzar means novach kekalba. Nun beis stands for novach, to bark. Who barks? Dogs bark. And then we go next, it says nefach kikulta. It's another type of sound that's made by, I know, a kulta, a certain type of animal. Nitzar kitzartzra. We take his name, Nevu, Kad, and Netzar, we break it into three parts. And each of these three parts refers to a certain type of sound that is emitted by a certain type of unpleasant creature. I don't know the other two creatures, but the first one is a dog. So you're nothing more than a barking dog. If you'll be good to us, and you will allow us to serve Hashem, we will reciprocate. We will be participants in your country to the point where we will bow before you, declare you are the Melech. But if you want to go chepa with us and to deny us our religious rights, then you're a dog in our eyes. And you'll be called Nebuchadnezzar. This is a very interesting hashkafa. There are people out there that will tell you that even if you're good to us, we're not going to acknowledge. We'll treat you like a dog, which I think is wrong. I mean, I think that says that's not a mahalach in life. If you're a guest in someone's country, you should participate to the fullest that you possibly can within the laws of the Torah. And that's what it says, Malka Nebuchadnezzar. And if you want, and then there are people, unfortunately, that say that no, even if the government tells us to do things which are mamish immoral, they stuff it down our throats, deny us religious freedom, you're still the Melech. We'll still do whatever you say. We'll take it from you. It's delicious.
He's ruling that from Yerushalayim.
What?
Where is he ruling?
He's ruling from Bavel. There's no Yerushalayim. The whole thing is Chorav. At this point in time, there are no birds chirping in Yerushalayim. At this point in time, for 52 years, Yerushalayim was completely desolate. There wasn't a bird. For 52 years, it was nothing. Then
there was some Yerushalayim.
The beginning. That was only the very beginning. Until the murder of Zechariah. Tzom Gedaliah. And after Gedaliah was murdered, that was the end. There was nothing there for 52 years. So there's a lot to learn over here. Malka Nebuchadnezzar and these two lines, Vehein Lo. Okay, so I think that is what I wanted to bring out. And we'll stop here. We'll continue this tomorrow.